The first reading is from Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, to the church in Sardis. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen then what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember therefore what you have received and heard, obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, but they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 20. "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because they are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes to those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you.' Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God and Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now, would you please sit as Keith comes to preach today?
Okay, good morning, church. It's nice to be here again, isn't it, really? Lovely to see the children here this morning. I was going to get them to do something as we go through the sermon, so I might ask you to do it, if that's all right. Who knows? You never know. Okay, Revelation. It's a good one, isn't it? Right at the end of the Bible, it's a bit sort of apocalyptic, isn't it? It's got lots of visions, but it was an important book, and we're going through these verses that are referring to seven churches in Turkey, and they're applicable to us. So it's not just to those churches, it's to us as well. So have your ears open, as it says at the end of the passage we've read. So, to start, have you ever had a merchandising experience that the thing you purchased has not been fit for purpose? I remember buying a minivan, would you believe, from a garage, I think. It looked great, it was all shiny, and when I took it for a test drive, it all worked very well. So I bought the van. But 2 days later, it broke down. I think the axle went, I think. It was something really disastrous. But it looked good on the outside, but it didn't work. It was not fit for purpose. It seemed that the nice paint job, the nice seats, the purring engine was only skin deep. Inside, there was a big problem. Now, I think this is what this letter to Sardis warns us about. And the question I want to ask today is, are we fit for purpose? Are we fit for purpose as a church, both in Alden and Mark's Tay? It's quite a harsh question in some respects. Now Sardis, it was a church who had a great reputation, it says, but it was only skin deep. And we need a faith that is deeper than mere appearances. So there is a dire warning in this letter to Sardis, but there is also an encouragement to come, so hold on to that. It's not all doom and gloom. So as we know, Sardis, if you can see that, is in Turkey. It's in the western side of Turkey. And that's where you can find it today. So it's a real place in a real time. But it's amazing, isn't it, that through this revelation by John, that the words that were just read in Revelation are the words of Jesus. They had been dead for 40-odd years, but they are the words of Jesus. So we need to make them, well, we need to really understand why he's saying them. And the question is, I think, that really, who is the boss in this situation? Is it the church or is it Jesus? And I think the question we need to ask ourselves is it the vicar? Is it the bishop or is it the archbishop? And in some respects, yes, but emphatically no. Jesus is the boss. Amen. So we need to listen to what Jesus says. Otherwise, we get it all wrong, don't we? Or we can get it wrong if we listen too hard sometimes to man. So Jesus, in this letter, goes straight to the first problem. There's none of this sort of, oh, you're not too bad. But no, he goes straight to the problem this time. And Jesus says to this church, you are dead. Harsh words, isn't it? Your reputation is being alive, but in reality, you are dead. An HR consultant wouldn't say that to anybody, would they? They would mince their words or make it sound a bit better. But the emphatic thing here, that the church in Sardis was dead. Now, we don't have all the detail here. We would like more, but it does seem quite clear that the church had been caught sleeping at the wheel. So wake up, is what it says. That's what Jesus shouts in verse 2. And perhaps every time I say wake up, perhaps you can say wake up. That makes me think you're not asleep. Okay. So if I say wake up, what do you say?
Wake up.
Right. Wake up.
Wake up.
Okay. Jesus had found their deeds to be unfinished. It seems that they had a good start, but it seems that it was as a half-baked job that they had done. Now, I watched a Celebrity Bake Off. I quite like Celebrity Bake Off. And they made this cake, and it looked really good. It was nice and crusty on the outside. And when old Paul Hollywood came along with his knife, he sort of dug it in, Oh, soggy in the middle. Not a soggy bottom, but soggy in the middle. Okay. It smelt really lovely. It looked really good. The decoration was wonderful. But it was half-baked. Not good for anything, really. It looked good on the outside, but rubbish inside. Only good for going in the bin, really. So our churches, are we skin deep and only fit for the bin? How can a church be like this, I wondered. It seems impossible. You know, Paul even writes to the church in Ephesus with a similar entreaty as to the church in Sardis. He urges the church there to live as children of the light and to wake up!
Wake up!
Wake up!
Wake up!
And smell the coffee. Be careful how you live. Be wise. It says in verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light. So live as children of the light. Wake up!
Wake up!
You sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Christ will shine his light on you, and you will radiate his light. But we need to be awake. Now perhaps the church at Sardis, or any other church, as it is written to us all, had loads of people attending the church. But the word of God may not have been talked about. Maybe they'd forgotten. Perhaps they were saying that Jesus is Lord, but not really living that out. Perhaps the worship was really, really rocking, but they were indifferent to all the needy around them. Perhaps they had great teaching for the head, good and sound head knowledge, but no application for the heart or life. A skin-deep type of faith. So the church is told to wake up.
Wake up.
It says in the passage that if the church didn't wake up, that Jesus will come like a thief in the night. Now these are harsh words, aren't they? But the church needed to be shaken out of their comatose stance. It says that they are nearly dead. A bit like CPR going on, really. A glimmer of life. But they needed to wake up. Now they didn't think they were in danger. They looked good and did all the right things, but they were in danger. They seemed to be sleepwalking into danger. And Jesus warns the church to wake up, or danger and judgment will come. Now the city of Sardis in the past thought that they were impregnable. You know, they were right on top of a hill, and they thought that nobody can get in. So that is the history of the church. But in fact, twice they were overtaken because they were asleep. They never looked out to what was going on outside. They thought they were impregnable, but they weren't. And they had been caught napping. So Jesus' words here are very effective to them, aren't they? Isn't it? He speaks into their situation and says, look, this is what happened, and this is what you're in danger of happening again. So Jesus found the church in Sardis to be asleep and nearly dead. If not fully dead, but already on a life support system. They were in danger of losing it all. So I think by implication from the last verse, whoever has ears, let him hear, that this warning applies to all churches. That if Jesus finds any church that is not fit for purpose, let us make no mistake. Jesus will act decisively. He is the boss. He is, of course, very patient and merciful, but how long will this last? Perhaps the time is short. He will come and sort the church out when we do not expect it. Quite a warning, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Something quite sobering. So perhaps we need to review what we are as church. Are we asleep at the wheel? Perhaps we look good to many, Perhaps we have a good reputation, but do we have any real substance? Are we shiny on the outside and rotten in the middle? Are we half-baked and good for nothing except the bin? A review is good. Perhaps we should do this at least once a year. You know, we heard from Ruth last Sunday, didn't we, about those six words that perhaps we would recognise as ourselves, but would they be the same six words as the community looking in? Would they be the same words? Would there be any negative words, perhaps? Need to be real, don't we? What are we good at? Where could we do better? What's missing in our ministry? Do we evangelise? Are we good teachers? Are we reaching out to the community? Are we awake to the move of God? Are we increasing in number? Are we making a difference? All those questions. It's a sobering thing to do, but worthwhile, I believe. We want to be a church that is awake and not asleep, not resting on our laurels and reputation, but moving with life with the Spirit of God. It's a bit like a medical diagnosis or checkup. And at my age, they come around very quickly. But we see something wrong, we then need to move quickly to rectify it. Perhaps the church in Sardis were like the walking dead. Perhaps it felt like that they were in a coma, or that they had suffered a heart attack and were out for the count. But Jesus is reminding this church that they needed heart surgery. They were nearly dead, but he wanted them to be alive, to wake up from their lethargy and apathy. So how can we apply this to our churches and to us as individuals? Well, the verses that we read, in verse 2, it says, wake up.
Wake up.
So we need to recognise the reality of who we are and what we are doing. In verse 2 again, it says, strengthen yourself. Identify the good that we do and seek to change the less good. And then there's the word remember, verse 3. Jesus' message to us in the past is real today. So remember what God has done for us in the past, but also what he will do for us in the future. And in verse 3 it says, hold fast. Hold fast to the truth of Jesus. No compromise. You know, he says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. And then repent in verse 3. Take action to change, to turn away from mediocrity and strive for excellence. So what are our strengths and weaknesses as churches in this part of Essex? Are we dead or are we alive? Question. Now the second problem, there's always a second problem, follows on from the first. No, sorry, it would do, wouldn't it? Sorry. It's my sense of humour. Now the church has been told to wake up and smell the coffee, and now we are told to be pure. Oh dear. Yet you have a few people who have not soiled their clothes in verse 4. So even in this asleep, dead church, there was a few good people amongst them that hadn't soiled their clothes. And by implication, everyone else had soiled their clothes. So there was a few who hadn't. Some were trying to live a pure life, where others had fallen into bad habits of the culture around them. And again, I think that's a warning for us. I'm not too sure if Jesus was too bothered about laundry, and even if clothes got dirty, but Jesus goes on to say that the ones who have not soiled their clothes, they will be dressed in brilliant white, just like Jesus himself. They would be counted worthy. They had no super ability, but they have done what they are supposed to have done. Their standards had not fallen. They had kept themselves clean and holy, Their lives had not been stained by the grubbiness around them. They had not compromised their faith. They had not assimilated into the culture of Sardis. They had taken a stand. So because of that, Jesus will walk with them, even in the dirt and the mire of Sardis. He will call them worthy. Wonderful, isn't it? They would be dressed in white, pure white. And he also goes on to say that he will never blot their names out. Jesus won't write them off. He will not. He will lift their names before the throne of the Father, in front of the angels, and acknowledge them before God. Just imagine that. Must be a wonderful thing to happen. So the church needs to get its act together. All is not lost. So just to try and tie this all up, we need not just to wake up, church, but we need to these be pure in our walk with Jesus and in the world and the culture that we live in. We need to clothe ourselves with righteousness and his righteousness alone. Nobody else's. He is the way, the truth and the life. We need to be set apart and holy people, but of course we are living in this fallen world. We need to live with Jesus, nobody else, walking with him through the dirt and grime that is all about us. We need to be visible to all as representatives of Jesus, so that the poor, the weak and the lowly are lifted up. Because this is where we all have all come from, isn't it? So will Jesus walk with us? Will he be ready to acknowledge us before the throne of God? Have our clothes been soiled? There is a sense of deep love in these words from Jesus to the church in Sardis. You know, revival is yours if you only wake up from your slumber. You can be revived, brought back to life. And you will then see revival break out around you. And what does this mean to us? What about us as a church here in Auckland and Mark's Tay? Are we skin-deep Christians with a bit of a foot in the kingdom of God, but the rest is in the world? Have we a faith that is more than skin-deep, going beyond mere appearances, but a faith that looks right into each one's heart and goes deep into God? There is a promise here, right at the end of the passage. It's great to hear your name mentioned, isn't it? Or read out for some great thing you might have done. It's great to hear your name praised. The church at Sardis had an impressive name and had a great reputation, but it was barely alive. Our name is written in the book of life, if we have repented and believed in Jesus' death on the cross. And it will never be taken away. The question I ask, are you in the book? Have you made that full and true commitment to Jesus? Without it, you are not safe. You are in danger. Have you given yourself fully to Jesus? Wake up.
Wake up.
Listen and act. Repent and come to Jesus. He can restore, resurrect and remold you. He loves you with a passion. And these warnings from the Bible are there for us to hear and to do something about it. I believe the Lord said to me this morning, you were once dead in sin, but now you are alive in me.
Amen.
Rise from your sleep, obey me, and live a real life, abundant life, dressed in my righteousness, and we can do marvellous things together. Did you know that being a shallow Christian is easy? You know, I'm hoping that you've got two legs and you can get to church quite easy on a Sunday. But it is much more costly to have a deeper faith. Jesus calls to you today, come deeper with me, walk with me, talk with me, and we will have an adventure. Amen.
Amen.